Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. I'd like to learn with you today a famous Ramban at the end of this week's Parsha, it's the end of Parsha's Bo, but it relates to Parsha's Va'era and Bo, from the Ramban with you. And in this short Ramban, the Ramban is going to address some of the most important questions that we all wonder about. What is the purpose of creation? What is the purpose of mitzvos? What is the nature of hashkacha? And what is the nature of nisim? It's probably a Ramban that many of you have seen before, but hopefully as we're ma'ayin in it, you'll see something new. And if not, so at the very least, it's something that that should affect our lives, even if we've already heard it. The Ramban writes, top right, Ve'ata omer lecha klal betam mitzvos rabos. Now I'm going to tell you the purpose of many mitzvos. Hine me'ez hayos avodah zarah ba'olam yimei enosh, heichelu hadeos lehishtabish be'emuna mehem kofrim be'ikr ve'omrim ki ha'olam kadmon, kachashu ba'ashem v'yomru lohu. So since the days of antiquity and idolatry, there have been all sorts of kfira. So the most extreme kfira is someone who's kofir b'ikr, an atheist, an agnostic. Umehem makhishim b'yediyaso ha'pratis v'amru eicha yada'el v'yeshdeya b'elyon. There were those who acknowledge that God exists, but they simply say that he does not know what's going on in the world. He's not aware. Perhaps he's the creator, but he has nothing to do with our world. Umehem shiyodu biyadio makhishim bashkacha. V'yasu adam kidge hayam shelo yashkia chael bahem ve'eni mam onesh oschar yomru azav Hashem es aretz. Or finally, the third possibility, there are those who understand, acknowledge that God certainly knows what's going on in the world. He's omniscient. However, there is no hashkacha. God is not involved in the world. He has removed himself from the world. So the world, olam kemin hago noheg, things go on through teva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nothing to do with it. V'kasher yirtzeh ha'elokim be'edau v'yachid v'yaseh ma'an mofes b'shinoi min hago shel olam v'tiv'o yizbarer l'kol bitol hadeos ha'elu kulam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to do some type of miracle, whether it's for an individual or a group of people, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has disproven all of these heresies. Now, how so? Ki amofes hanifla more sheyesh leolam elokam mechadsho v'yodeya u'mashkiach v'yachol. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes in the world in a miraculous fashion, so first of all, it becomes clear that he exists. Second of all, that he knows what's going on. And third of all, that he intervenes, that there is such a thing as hashkacha. Now, one of the questions that we're going to deal with in this Ramban is, what is the nature of hashkacha? Every Jewish thinker is certainly going to acknowledge that nisim exist and that there are times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach. There are times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the world. The question is whether it's ubiquitous, whether it's something that happens only on occasion. Sometimes there are miracles, HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes, but the general mahalich is one of lack of intervention, one of teva, or no, is everything defined by hashkacha. So miracles show that there is such a thing as hashkacha on occasion. However, still the question that we need to address, and that the Ramban here is going to address, is the nature of hashkacha. How pervasive is it? V'kasher yamofes ahu nigzar tchila mipnei navi yisbarer mimenu od amitas hanevua ki daber ha'alokim el es adam v'igales odo el avadav ha'neviim v'tiskayim imze ha'torah kula. And finally, if this miracle was predicted by a prophet, so that also verifies the notion of prophecy, which is the basis of the entire Torah. V'lachein yomar kasov b'movsim laman teda ki ani Hashem bekerf aretz lohoros al hashkacha ki lo azav oso lemikrim kedatam v'amar laman teda ki la Hashem haaretz lohoros al achidush ki shelo shebraam me'ayin ve'amar bavor teda ki en kamoni b'chol arts l'horos al yocholtam shu shalit b'kol en makev b'yado ki b'chol zeh hayu ha-mitzriyim makhishim o mistapkim imkein ha-usos ve'amovsim ha-gdolim edim ne'emanim be'emunas ha-borei uve'atorah kula. Here the Ramban here is addressing a number of psukim in our parsha, Parshas Va'era. The question that you might wonder about when reading these parshios is, what is the purpose of the makos? What are the makos meant to accomplish? So at first glance, you'll say, the makos were meant to facilitate the Exodus, namely, to allow the Jewish people to go. Paro was saying no, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the makos in order to facilitate their leaving Egypt. That clearly cannot be the case. In fact, quite the opposite is true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Paro was ready to let the Jews go much earlier. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened his heart. Why? Leman harbos mosai, in order to bring the makos, in order to bring the miracles. In other words, the purpose of the makos isn't to allow the Jewish people to leave. On the contrary, Paro was made to keep the Jews in order that the makos be carried out. So what then is the purpose of the makos? So one aspect is certainly onesh, as the Rambam notes in Hilchos Tshuva. However, the Ramban here adds that that is clearly not the primary purpose of the makos. If we look at the psukim tell us what the purpose of the makos are. Leman teidun ki ani Hashem, leman teidun ki ein kamoni b'karev haaretz, leman teidun ki ani Hashem b'karev haaretz. All these psukim that the Ramban quotes here. And what the Ramban notes is that the purpose of the makos is what? Is to reject the false doctrines that the Egyptians maintained. Perhaps not just the Egyptians, perhaps the entire world. What were these doctrines? The doctrines that we mentioned at the beginning. Namely, that either God doesn't exist, or he exists but he's God of the heavens, not God of the world. So therefore we have the makos proving leman teidun ki ani Hashem b'karev haaretz, that there's hashgacha. Likewise, there were those that claimed, okay, well, there are gods, that God is God of the heavens, God of the earth, but perhaps there are other independent forces. No. Leman teidun ki en kamoni b'kol haaretz. That is the purpose of the makos. And in fact, if you note, at the beginning of each set of makos, there are three sets of three makos. So at the beginning of each set, there's a warning in which Moshe tells us the purpose of the following three makos. And the Ramban notes that's to eradicate these particular false beliefs that the Egyptians maintained. The purpose of the 10th makkah was actually something else. It relates to Bechiras Yisrael, Leman Teidun Ki Afle Hashem Bein Mitzrayim Bein Yisrael. That relates to the distinction between makkas Bechoros and why the Jewish people have to do mitzvos in that case, and the like. Another topic. Okay, so the Ramban continues. Uba'avur ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yaseh os umofes b'chol dor leinei kol rasha o kofer. Not every kofer is zocha to a miracle to disprove his contention. Miracles are things that don't regularly happen throughout history, perhaps to allow for bechira and to allow us to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu even mitoch ha-choshech. Nevertheless, miracles are not common, and therefore Yitzaveh osanu shenaseh tamid zikaron ba'os la'asher ra'u einenu. Accordingly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands that we remember that which we saw. And thus the psukim at the very beginning of our parsha, Parshas Va'era, tell us that the Jewish people are to transmit the events that occurred to them, to tell their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, and to relive the events through so many mitzvos, most especially Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach, but really many mitzvos. And that's what the Ramban here writes. V'nati kadavar albanenu uvneihem livneihem uvneihem l'dor acharon v'hichmir me'od b'inyan hazeh ki kemo shechiev karis b'achilas hametz. The importance of this can be seen from the fact that the punishment for failure to recollect, observe, and commemorate these miracles is so severe. The penalty for eating chametz is kares. that's more severe than basar b'chalav, than eating chazer and the like. Why? Because the prohibition against eating chametz relates to this primary obligation of transmitting the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the events that prove HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence in the Hashkacha to generation after generation. And thus, Azivas HaPesach, even a mitzvah Aseh, a bitul Aseh of Karban Pesach, is Chayiv Karis. We have many other means of recalling this. Yetzias Mitzrayim is included in the parshios of Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. V'lichtov oso al pischei habatim b'mezuzos, and to write it in the mezuzos. This is a little problematic because Yetzias Mitzrayim is not mentioned in the parshios in the mezuzah. It just says Sheman v'haya. It says lichtov oso, to mention it. Not so clear. It's an interesting ha'ara. Presumably what he means is that the mezuzah on the door is a recollection of the nace of Makas Bechoros, in which we placed blood on the doorway, and the mezuzah helps us recall that nace, and therefore, even though it's not stated explicitly in the parshios, the mitzvah of mezuzah helps us remember that nace. V'shenazkir zeh befinu baboker uva'erev, the mitzvah of Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, both morning and evening, Kemo She'amru, Emes V'yatziv De'oraisa, Mimasha Kasov, L'man Tizkoras Yelam Teizcham Eretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha, V'shenase Sukkah B'chol Hashana. Likewise, the mitzvah of Sukkos is to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are other mitzvahs as well, Pidyon HaBen, and so forth. Now, the Ramban elsewhere, in Drashas Tars Hashem Tamima, which is on the bottom left of page 1, repeats this idea, and he adds a very important point, which is that because it is the case that so many mitzvos are designed to help us remember these fundamental principles of faith, so it's important that we do the mitzvos b'kavana. In other words, if we simply do the mitzvos without ever thinking about them, if we pass our mezuzah without ever considering why it's there, so then we will have defeated its purpose. Because the purpose is to help us remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, or the way the Rambam puts it in Hilchos Mezuzah, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. Just take a look, go down to the bottom left, where it's underlined, V'yadua kol ha'osa mitzvah b'lo kavana, o mi shelo yizbonein ba, lo yase b'shlemos, aval nizbonein ba, kigon, kana mezuzah b'dinar, kava b'pischo, v'niskaven lizbonein ba, uv'inyana, if a person has a mezuzah, but they never think about the mezuzah, or perhaps they never think about it after they've put it up, except maybe to check it every so often, so then they've missed the purpose. However, if they simply think about the mezuzah and its purpose every time they enter and they exit, so by doing that, they will have... Mezuzahs were a little cheaper in those days. They were only a dinar. But anyway, by doing that, they will have been modeh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, his hashkacha, and so on and so forth. So continuing back in the first Ramban, V'chein kol kiyotzei bahen mitzvos rabo zeich l'yetzis mitzrayim. Thus we have many, many mitzvos zeich l'yetzis mitzrayim. Hakol lios lanu b'chol hadoros edus b'movsim shelo yishtakchu. V'lo yeh pischon peh l'kofer l'hakchesh emunasa alokim. Ki akone mezuzah bezuz echad v'kava b'pischo v'niskavein b'inyana, like we said, k'var hoda b'chidush ha'olam uvidiyas aboria v'ashkach aso v'gam b'nevua v'hemin b'chol pinos ha'torah milvad shoda shechesed ha'bori is ha'gadol me'od al osi ritzono shotzianu oso me'oso avdus l'cheros v'kavod gadol l'zakos avoseihem hachafetzim b'yir shemo. Not only do we acknowledge God's existence and providence by doing these mitzvos, but we also recognize and acknowledge his great kindness that he took us out and gave us all that he did. Ulefikach amru havezari b'mitzvah kala kebachamura shekulon chamuros v'chavivos me'od shebechol sha'a adam moda bahen lelokav. That's why the Mishnah tells us to be careful about light, easy, simple mitzvos. Why? Because even these simple light mitzvos are so important in so far as they cause us to recall and think about God's existence, His hashgacha, and the like. And then the Ramban goes even further. V'kavanas kol ha-mitzvot shenamin be'elokeinu v'nodeh elav shehu b'ra'anu. This is not just the purpose of these local set of mitzvot that are Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim, but now he tells us that this is the purpose of all mitzvot, because by doing mitzvot, we are modeh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. Now again, this is clearly only the case if a person does mitzvot for the right reasons. If you simply do mitzvot because that's what everybody else is doing, or because you think it's some type of cultural idea, it doesn't reflect belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heterodoxy, or whatever you want to call it, so then you have defeated the purpose of mitzvot. And in fact, along similar lines, the Ramban writes it's on page 3, top right column. This is in his Hakdama to Eov. We're going to get back to what he says there a little later. But he writes, top right of page 3, Amar Machaber, Davar Yadua, Kamuna, Biadias, Akelis, Baruch, Bemine, Eshvalim, Bisham, Vashkachaso, Bechlalam, Uvifratam, Pinos, Gedolos, Mitaras, Moshe, Rabbein, Walav, Shalom, Kia Kofer, Bezek, Kofer, Betorah, Vechlal, if you deny Eshkach, you deny all of Torah, Vechala Kofer, Bashkach, Shiomar, Sheena, Bori, Mashkiach, Bivne Adam, Imyasu, Tova, Ora, Vimyasigame, Davar, Hakol, Mikra, Lahem, Lo, Bechefetz, Aloka, Uvikavanaso, So someone who denies hashkacha is no chelak in olam haba. V'lo zikaron utzdaka b'torah, lo v'bimitzvoseha, v'lo bi'udehem. Ki lo yechuvein alehem, v'af lo b'nevua. Ki hanevua hashgacha gedola b'emes. So the Ramban here writes that someone who goes ahead and does mitzvos, but lacks proper beliefs, lacks the correct belief in the nature of hashgacha, so there is no purpose of his mitzvos, and they receive no reward for mitzvos. Why is it? A person does mitzvos his whole life, so he doesn't believe in hashgacha. Why shouldn't he get any reward for his mitzvos? The answer, among other things, is like the Ramban over here says, that the purpose of mitzvos is to inculcate within us the belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists and is mashgiach, and to profess that publicly, lahodos. And thus, if a person does mitzvos without that kavana, or even more extremely, with the opposite kavana, he does the mitzvos but he doesn't believe in the mitzvos, so then they serve no purpose, and accordingly the Ramban says he will receive no reward. So back to the first Ramban. Then Ramban goes even further. Not only is being modeh in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his hashgacha and his chesed the purpose of mitzvot, but it is the purpose of all of existence. It is the purpose of creation. V'hi, again, left column where it's bolded and underlined, V'hi kavanas hayitzira, she'ein lanu tam acher biyitzira harishona, v'ein el olyon chafetz betachtonim milvad she'eda ha'adam v'yodel elokav shibra'o. The purpose of all of creation is for us to be modeh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He created us. Now, this is a bigger topic. We're not going to do it now. Obviously, it doesn't mean from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective as much as from our perspective. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chaser nothing. And in truth, we couldn't possibly understand His true motivation for creating the world. So another time perhaps we'll talk about what exactly he means here, but at least from our perspective he's saying that the purpose of Yetzira is for us to have the opportunity to what? Lahodos Elav. To declare our belief in his existence and his hashkacha and his chesed. And therefore he continues, the kavanas romimus hakol betfilos, the kavanas bate knesios, v'zchus tfilos rabim. This is why we daven in shul. The notion of tefillah b'tzibur is at first very strange. Tefillah is meant to be an intimate encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, it seems strange that we would daven in Shul. It's, after all, a very private, personal matter. And why is there a concept of Tefillah B'Tzibur? Why do we get together? And why do we have Roman Musakol? Why do we daven out loud? Why are there sections of the Tefillah that we say loudly? All these seem to contradict the purpose of Tefillah, which is an intimate dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The answer is, says the Ramban, that there's another purpose of Tefillah. And the purpose of Tefillah is for us to publicly express our belief in His existence, in His Hashkacha, and in His Chesed. And accordingly, for us to publicly express that belief, we need to gather together in a public forum, in a shul. And that's why, the Ramban says, there's this concept of Zchus Tfilas HaRabim. Because when we all get together and daven, we're doing something that we don't do when we daven alone. Because when we daven alone, we aren't publicly expressing our belief. And he says that's why we raise our voices in tefillah. Yes, it's true. We're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could hear us even if we speak silently. But it's not just for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hear us. It's for the whole world to hear us. Zehu shiyeh levnei adam makom yiskabtu v'yodu le'el shibra'am v'himtziyam v'yifarsimu zeh v'yomru lefana v'yosach anachnu. So the purpose of a shul is to have a place to gather together where we could all join together and say, v'yosach anachnu, we are your creations. V'zu kavanasam b'masha amruzal v'yikru'u el Elohim b'chazaka mikana talamed shetfila tzricha kol. Chatzifa Natzach Levisha. The Gemara derives Tefillah Tzricha Kol. It must be said in an audible voice. What does Chatzifa Natzach Levisha mean? It means that chutzpah defeats Ra, meaning to say that through Haramas HaKol B'Tefillah, we repudiate those views. Those who maintain that there is, in fact, no such thing as divine intervention. And I think it's a little more to it than that. You know, if we go to shul and we just, you know, dive into ourselves, so you're doing what everybody else does. When a person, while davening, cries out, they scream, or if not scream, at least speak audibly, they have some hargasha, so it shows that they actually mean what they say. They're not just, you know, reading the same thing because that's what's in the siddur and that's what you're supposed to do. And that's the idea, that by almost being chutzpahdik in our tefillah, by speaking out loud, we repudiate, we reject those false beliefs concerning the nature of hashkacha. Then Ramban writes, Umin hanisim hagadolim hamefursamim adamode benisim hanistarim shehem yisod haTorah kula. From the great miracles, the miracles that took place during Yetzias Mitzrayim, so these famous miracles, by acknowledging that they exist, we are also acknowledging that the nisim nistarim exist. Meaning to say that once we acknowledge that it's possible for there to be nisim mifursamim, we are also acknowledging the possibility of nisim nistarim. Now, what does he mean here? There's a number of things we have to explain, including what does a nis nistar mean. So the Ramban elsewhere explains this line in Drasha Saras Hashem Tamima, which is below. I'll elaborate in a moment. But there was a belief that was prevalent at the time that the Ramban was writing this, and much earlier, that nisim are by definition are definitionally impossible. This was the view of Aristotle, for example, and the basis of his understanding, or based off of his understanding of the eternity of matter, and rejection of Briya Me'ayin, Yesh Me'ayin. Now is not the time to fully elaborate, but theoretically, one could have said that, yes, matter always existed, but there's also such a thing as a nes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes intervenes. That was not the case for Aristotle. Might have been the case for Plato. That's why Ramban, and parenthetically, the Rambam writes that Aristotle's belief in the eternity of matter is rejection of Bria is against the entire Torah, whereas Plato isn't necessarily against the whole Torah. The idea was, and again this was a widespread belief, that Nisim are by definition impossible. God exists, but he can't intervene. And thus, by acknowledging that there are Nisim, and any type of Nisim, even Nisim Nigluyim, we are also acknowledging the possibility of Nisim Nistarim. Because if there can be a Nes Nigla, there could also be a Nes Nistar. Now, and that's what he writes, Shem Yisod HaTorah Kula. What does he mean? So elsewhere he elaborates on this as well. Very briefly, the Ramban notes, for example, that the nature of Schar V'Onesh is depicted in the Torah, not the true Schar V'Onesh, which is Olam Haba and the like, but depicted in the Torah is one in which the Torah tells us, for example, in Parshas Bechukosai, that if you do that which is right, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward you with bounty, safety, prosperity, and protection. And if you do that which is wrong, so you'll be punished by famine, drought, plague, and war. Now, it is obvious that al pi teva, it is not the case that rain is more likely to fall upon those who are observant and less likely to fall upon those that are less observant. So the idea of all of the rewards that are described in the Torah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashgiach. But those miracles don't necessarily happen overtly. Rather, they're what Ramban calls Nisim Nistarim. Now, what's a Nis Nistar? So this is also a bigger topic. Another time we could elaborate. But briefly, the Ramban understands that a Nis Nistar is a nace that's deniable. It doesn't mean that it's not a nace. It is a nace. Ramban in Parshas Vayigash even thinks that Yocheved's giving birth at 130 was a nace nister, as opposed to Sarah's, which was a nace nigla. So the point is that a nace nigla, a nace nister, is something that a person could deny. The Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim were not reasonably, or even perhaps unreasonably, deniable. When it comes to Nisim Nistarim, if a person wishes to say, oh, that was just happenstance, you got lucky, just happened to be that way, that's just Teva, there's randomness in creation or in existence, so they could make such a claim. That's what a Nes Nistar is. And it's not just the Ramban elsewhere writes, it's not just the idea that the rewards and the punishments are a contradiction to, or highlight the belief in Nes Nistar, or a denial of a Nes Nistar is a denial of, like he writes here, Kol HaTorah Kula, but it's everything we do. He writes, for example, in Vayigash, V'chol Tfilos David Malkeinu, V'chol Tfilos Seinu, Nisim V'Niflos. The idea of tefillah reflects our belief in Hashkacha and our belief in Nisim Nistarim. If we didn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actively involved in our lives, then it would make no sense to pray. But we know prayers, our prayers, the prayers of David HaMelech, are full of requests that relate to things in our lives. And accordingly, the whole basis of tefillah is the assumption that there are Nisim Nistarim, there is Hashkacha, that even though that prayer is effective, that if I pray for something, that will affect whether or not it happens. And even though a person could deny that because Ein Bahem Shinui Mefursam Betivo Shel Olam, nevertheless, they're true. And that's what he writes here. They're the Yesod for Kol HaTorah Kula. And so he continues. She'ein la'adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu ad shenamin b'chol dvarenu mikreinu shekulam nisim ein bohem teva u'minhago shel olam. A person has no chelek in Toras Moshe until he believes that all the things that happen are nisim. There is no such thing as teva, as minhago shel olam. This is a very famous line. We'll return to it in 1 second. But just to continue, bein berabim, bein biyachid. So this is true not just for the tzibor. There are those who might have said that, well, when it comes to Klal Yisrael, of course there's hashgacha, and there's hashgacha in everything. But when it comes to an individual, so no, then there's teva and the like. No, bein biyachid, bein berabim. Everything is a nes. Ela, im yasa mitzvos yatzlichenu scharo. Rather, lamaisa, if you do mitzvos, you will be rewarded. Again, not just rewarded in olam haba, but that will affect this world. Vim yavor aleihem yachwisenu ancho hakol b'gzeres elyon asher yizkarti kvar. Bisparsimu anisim anistarim b'inyan harabim kasher yavu b'yude haTorah b'inyan habrachos v'haklalos. This is what I referred to before, that the brachos and the klalos testify to this. Okay. Now, the Ramban here seems to be pretty straightforward. He seems to be taking the approach that everything is hashgacha, everything is a nes. There is no such thing as teva whatsoever. Anybody who claims that there is such a thing as teva is makhish b'taras Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Ramban repeats this idea in a number of places. You could see a bunch of them here. One is Taras Hashem Tamima at the bottom of page 1 going on to page 2. Another one is in Dvarim Yud Aleph on page 2. Another one is in his Hakdama to Eov on page 3. However, at the same time, there are a number of places where the Ramban seems to take a different approach. Among them, Bereshis Yud Ches Yud Tes on page 2. In his Perish on Eov, Lamed Vav, Perak Lamed Vav, also on page 2, and the like. And accordingly, we need to figure out what the Ramban's mahalich here. Each of these seemingly contradictory statements is repeated a number of times, so it can't be that it's an actual contradiction. The Ramban generally didn't forget what he wrote, but especially something that he writes with such forcefulness, and about which he says that anyone who denies this is no chelek in Toras Moshe. So clearly, he didn't deny it himself. So what is the other statement that he says? So we'll look at one example. The bottom of page 2, bottom right, the pasuk says about Avram Avinu ki adativ leman asher yitzaveh es banav es beiso acharav v'shamru derech Hashem lasot tzedaka u'mishpat leman havi Hashem al Avraham es asher diber elav. So there are a number of interpretations of what ki adativ means. What does it mean, ki adativ? Is it a lashon of yediya, or perhaps, as many mefarshim explain, a lashon of chiba, a lashon of love? Ki adativ, I love Avraham because of the way in which he's mechanech his children. So after bringing several interpretations, the Ramban writes, V'anachon be'enai shehi yediya bo mamish. The term yediya ki adativ is actually literal. Yermos ki yediya sashem shehi ashkachaso be'olam hashafel hi lishmor haklalim. When it comes to yediya sashem, which is his hashkacha, God's knowledge of the world, so that is something that relates to the preservation of the klalim, meaning to say to guide the species. There is not what we call hashkacha pratis on everything, but there's hashkacha klalis. V'gam, so when it comes to the species, there is general hashkacha, lishmor haklalim. This is an idea that many Rishonim state. Almost all the Rishonim maintain that, for example, when it comes to animals or the like, there's no hashkacha pratis, there's only hashkacha klalis. It's an interesting point. Again, another time, why is it that a number of achronim, especially Hasidic thinkers, seem to debate that, but another time. So, okay, so one type of hashkacha is this hashkacha klalis on the species. V'gam b'nei Adam munachim bo lemikre ad bo es pikudasem. So here's the problematic line. Here he writes, and also people are sometimes left to mikre, seemingly to teva, to happenstance, until they die or until their memory is recalled. In other words, he seems to be saying that when it comes to most people, there isn't necessarily hashgacha on every single thing in their life. They're munachim lemikra. Elsewhere, he even uses the term teva, despite his forceful rejection of that term that we saw earlier. Aval bechasidav. However, when it comes to his chasidim, here he's referring to Avram and the meaning of the pasuk ki adativ. Aval bechasidav yosum elav libo ladas oso befrat. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hashkacha pratis. Liosh miraso davka botamid, to constantly protect them. Lo tipared hayedia vazachira mimenu klau. And thus, when it comes to chasidim, like Avram Avinu, where the pasuk says ki yadativ, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yediyah and zchira, his knowledge, his memory, his protection, never is removed. Kitam lo yigara mitzadik einav. Like the pasuk in Iyov says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't turn his eyes from those who are righteous, implying dafka those that are righteous, or those that are righteous have a extraordinary measure of hashkacha as opposed to others. And in fact, the Ramban on that pasuk makes the same point. You could see that on the bottom of page 2. Ketam uvo mizeh psukim rabim kedichsev hine ein Hashem el yireya v'zu aseh. So for example, the pasuk ein Hashem el yireya, there's a special hashkacha, ein Hashem, God's eyes are on his yireya, those who fear him, those who are extraordinary. Just to skip to another illustration of that, the bottom of the page, bottom left on page 2. Ki adam mipneshu makir es elokav yashkiach alav yishmoro so. When a person is makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects him and is mashkiach upon him. This is similar to an idea that's expressed in Emor Nevuchim as well, in which tzaddikim and chasidim have a higher level of hashkacha, and the Rambam stresses that's a natural carryover from their connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like he writes over here, mipnei shehu makir es elokav. V'lo kein shar habriyos she'ein yodim boram. This is not true for other people that are not yodeya boram. U'min atam hazeh yishmor es hatzadikim. Ki kasher libam ve'ineim tamid imo, kein einei Hashem aleihem me'reishis hashana v'arach hushana. Just like their eyes are constantly turned towards God, so me'mela HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes are constantly towards him. Again, this language is very reminiscent of the Rambam's perspective on Mor Nevuchim. And in fact, the Ramban felt that fundamentally he agreed with the Rambam. A lot of times it's presented as a debate between the Ramban and the Rambam. The truth is, there are, as we've seen within the Ramban, complex statements, and also within the Rambam. And the Ramban at least felt that there wasn't a vast difference between he and the Rambam. And we'll just read a couple more lines. Ki kasher dada ad ki achasid agamor. So if you have someone who is a total chasid, hadavek be'lokav tamid v'lo yipared, hadavek b'machshavto bo b'inyan m'inyanei ha'olam yen nishmar tamid mikol mikre azman. So memela, if you have a tzaddik, a chasid that's always thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he will always be protected. Afilu ha'havayim b'teva, even from teva. So again, here you see the Ramban acknowledging that they're saying such a thing as teva. Aye, but he said earlier that anyone who believes in teva has no chelik in Taras Moshe. So how are we to understand this? So turn to page 4. So like we said before, clearly it's not a stira, and we have to figure out how these two statements or groups of statements could be resolved. We'll start with Rabbeinu Bachya, who is oftentimes very helpful in understanding Ramban. This is the Rabbeinu Bachya on the Perek Yud Ches Ki Adativ that we saw before. Lashon, Gdula Mala, da da. V'tzarech, skip to the bold. V'tzarech shetaskil ki ha-hashkacha ba'olam ha-shafel b'mina adam hi klalis upratis. Like we saw in the Ramban, there's two types of hashkacha. There's hashkacha klalis and hashkacha pratis. U'pasuk malehu. Shematzinu gadol haitzav irav ha'alila asher einecha pikuchos al kol darchei b'nei adam laseish l'ish kidarcho v'gomer. In other words, you see that when it comes to people, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu explicitly that each person gets their deserts, each person gets exactly what they deserve. Uvishar balechaim, however, when it comes to other things, like animals, hi klalis, lo pratis, rak bechlal kedei l'kayim amin. When it comes to the hashkacha on animals, there's a general hashkacha to preserve the species, but not particularistic hashkacha on each individual member of the species. The hashkacha pratis b'min ha'adam nechlaka l'shnei chalakim. So now, there's two general categories, what he called hashkacha klalis, to preserve the species, that's stated with respect to animals, and then there's hashkacha on humans. And now he's further dividing category two into A and B. Within hashgacha on people, there are two categories of hashgacha. What are they? Hashgacha boleda kol pratei ma'asav u'machshev osav. The hashgacha to know all the details. The hashgacha bo lehagen alav ulatzilo min ha-mekatrigim. Mekatgrim. And also, so 2a is yediyah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware. Presumably it means more than just awareness, because he's aware of the animals as well. But category 2a is hashkacha leida prate masav umachshevosav, and that applies to all humans. And then hashkacha, what we're calling 2b, is what the Rambam and the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachya say specifically to tzaddikim, and that's hashkacha bo lahagein alav ulhatzilo min hamikrim, to protect him from all forms of mikra. Like we saw the Ramban say, it's only the tzaddik, it's only the chassid that's always protected from mikra. So what exactly does this mean? So I think the basic yesod is what the Rabbeinu Bachya says here, and I think the Ramban also alludes to, which is that there's such a thing as mikra, and a tzaddik is always protected from mikra, whereas regular people, a beinoni, is not always protected from mikra. That's not to say that there isn't hashgacha or lots of hashgacha in their life, but there's no shmira. There's no guaranteed protection from mikra. That is only true with respect to a tzaddik. Take a look at how the Meiri puts this in the next source, left column, page 4 in the middle. Mipinos hadasu misodoseha hu lahamin biyosher mishpatei Hashem yisbarach liyos ha'adam nigmal v'ne'enash b'chol in yanav lefi ma'asav im tov v'imra v'lo yakev ze mazal u'mareches kochavim o echad min ha'mikrim ela shali. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it such that, and this is a principle of faith, that people get what they deserve. It's just and it's fair. If a person experiences suffering, there's a reason for it. It's not arbitrary, whether it's a punishment or a wake-up call or whatever it is. It's just and it's purposeful. And thus, they are not left to fate or nature. However, he says, Ella, shelif amim ya'azov lemikre o lemazel, kshadam eno rawi lefi masav lihigamel o leheanesh. The av ze nikra tzad onesh, al tzad hipaka hagmul bimakom shaya adam rawi lasos pulos uyos ligmul. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes there that a person is left to mikra. That is part of the hashkacha. It's not that there's this independent force of nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves and lets be and doesn't intervene. Teva, or Mikra, says the Meiri, says the Ramban, says Rabbeinu Bachya, is a chelek, is a aspect of the manner in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world. If a person acts as they should, so then they'll be protected. sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a person a punishment or suffering, whether as a punishment or a wake-up call or the like. Now, that could be done in two forms. Sometimes it will be a direct punishment. You'll get zapped. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will leave you to Mikra. And Mimela, if you're left to Mikra, then it may very well happen that you'll be hurt. That too is a chelak in the Hashgacha. So when the Ramban writes that a person who denies, who believes in Teva, is denying Toras Moshe, what he means to say is someone who thinks that Teva is independent. But the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes leaves a person to Teva, so that's something that's clearly within Toras Moshe. And that's why the Gemara tells us, Yisurin ba'in liyadcha yifashfesh b'maisav. If a person experiences Yisurim, they should examine their ways. They should do tshuva. Well, you might say, that doesn't make sense. Maybe I'm not a chassid, maybe I'm not a tzaddik, maybe I'm not zocha to this high level of hashgacha, so why should I be yifashfesh b'maisav? Maybe it's mikra. The answer is no. Because even if it is mikra, the fact that you were left to mikra is a reflection of the fact that you aren't where you should be. And thus mikra, thus teva, is not an independent force, but it's a means through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manhig the world. And accordingly, a person that experiences mikra, or what might be mikra, should be mefashfesh b'maisav. One other marmakom, I think, that explains this and adds an additional dimension. I should thank Rabbi Rafi Stoll, who pointed me in this direction in terms of understanding the Ramban, is a Ramak, the final source on page 4. Hashkacha koleles tibatel hapratit levnei adam she'enam miyuchadim be'anshei maisa. So again, people that aren't anshei maisa, that aren't on a high level, experience hashkacha klalis, as opposed to pratis. Vizuhi makas medina hanemra begemara sheharov yadiach hameat. Ukshenitan rishus lemashchis lechavel eino mavchin bein tzadik lerasha. Vizedavka betzadik sheino gamur. Aval hamiyuchad b'maisav yachid hashkachaso v'yinatzel bein kama v'kama. So let's explain. The halacha is that if there is a plague in your city, that you should flee. So the question is why? If a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if a person believes be'emunah shleima that sickness and disease comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if a person is confident, mi yechyehu mi yamus was already decided, though that's somewhat of a different issue, so then why should they flee? A person could stay in the city where there's the plague and say, look, if I'm deserving, then I'll be harmed, and if I'm not, I won't be harmed. Why should a person respond? Why should a person flee? The answer is, like Chazal say, that kevan shenitan reshus lemashchis eino mavchin bein tzadik lerasha, that when there is a plague, the mashchis does not distinguish between tzadik and rasha. Now, what does that mean? What he means to say is the following, that to the extent there are times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be gozer a sickness on an individual, and there are times that a city will deserve a plague, in which case HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring a plague to that city. And by dint of a person being in that city, they're subject to damage by the plague, unless they are on an extraordinary level, the level that we saw described by the Rambam and the Ramban, in which case there's zocha to shmira me'ula, to protection. And that's what he means. He says that, yeah, if you know you're a tzaddik gamor, you're on the level of Avram Avinu where it says ki adativ, so then, of course, there's no need to leave the city. To the extent that a person is unsure whether they're on that level, then they should leave. And the Ramak explains. For example, Bisvina sheba'u ba kama bnei adam, v'rubam nischayvu, heim unichseim litvawa, v'hayasham tzadik echad, mi gimel b'chinos. So let's say there is a boat, and the boat has all sorts of people, including people that, for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that they should die. So there might be a storm. Now, what's going to happen to the tzaddik on that boat? O tzaddik she'ein bo kedai lahatzil atzmo, v'ilu lo haya sham, lo haya nitba, v'agav ruba nitfas. So you might have a situation of a person who's a tzaddik, and on his own, he's undeserving of death. But because he's part of that tzibor, on the boat, or in the city, so he's going to be nitfas imayim, because he's not on that high, extraordinary level. Beis, hatzadik shayi kedai lahatzil atzmo, v'ze yesh bo kama b'chinos, o yinatzel hu, umimono, o hu, v'lomi mimono, o yinatzel hu, below tzar, and ashlishi hatzadik sheyesh bo koach, yinatzel hu, mimono, shinatzel gamkin, kulam b'shuso. So you have different levels of tzadikim. One is the tzadik who, on his own, should really live, but because he's part of that tzibor, he's going to die. Another is on a higher level, so they'll die and he'll be saved somehow or another. He'll get on a lifeboat, and finally, sometimes he'll have a tzaddik who saves the whole boat along with him. Now, the point that the Ramak here is saying is the following, that part of the hashgacha in the world is not just that we said an individual will be left to mikra, but part of that type of hashgacha, what we sometimes call hashgacha klalis, is that if you're part of a tzibor, you'll be nitfas imahem, unless you're zoche to extraordinary shmira. And thus, with this in mind, the two sets of Rambans don't really contradict each other. So a person then, to summarize, a person must believe in hashgacha, hashgacha klalis and hashgacha pratis, that there's no intrinsic power to Teva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does involve himself in our lives, and the things and the events in our lives are a reflection of Hashgacha. At the same time, there are times that a person who is not deserving of this high level of Shmira will be subject to Mikra. So just as a final point, as the Ramban noted, it's this time of year when we read about the Nisim and the Niflos that took place in Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's a good idea to be mechazik ourselves in our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Hashgacha, to allow the mitzvos, the many mitzvos that remind us of that Hashgacha and of that chesed, to actively change the way we think, and like he said, to allow tefillah to be an opportunity and a venue for us to publicly declare, wherever we can, our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban says in Emor, that's why Yamim Tovim are called Mikrei Kodesh, because Mikrei Kodesh are a time that we get together and we publicly declare our belief and our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's something that we do not just in the context of tefillah and Yom Tovim and the like, but we could do throughout our lives. And as the Ramban writes, that's something that's very powerful. It's kavanas kol hayetzira kula. Have a good day.